Ooh, Werewolves of Wall Street.
God, love it.
Without werewolves.
More just wolves.
Yeah. You're like, where's that wolf? Oh, it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, nobody changes into a wolf. Jordan Belfort was just a wolf all the whole time.
Look, I don't know how to put this in any simpler terms than that it's a Martin Scorsese film, and it's in the theaters. Why do I need to tell you to go see it? I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. He is one of the most consistently amazing directors of the 20th century and now the 21st century. And with The Wolf of Wall Street, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Look, it's a rise and fall story.
Yeah.
And when it comes to rise and fall, Martin Scorsese wrote the book on that.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
It's like, hey, when I die, if you want to know who I want to make the movie of my life, it's this guy. It's not even that interesting, but he'll find a way to make it awesome.
And he's also the guy that's so amazing that he goes, like, they're like, who do you want to be in the movie? He's like, just put up a Craigslist post. They'll all show up.
Right.
Yeah. And sure enough, they do. It's like, this movie is like a who's who of great supporting actors that you're like, oh my God, look who it is. All right. That being said, this is The Unusual Suspects coming together for another highly suspect review. I am Christopher Lawrence Cox.
I'm Martin Thomas.
I am JC DeLeon.
And we are going to knock the fuck out of Wolf of Wall Street. Or rather, it's going to knock the fuck out of us. I think it kind of already did. Yeah, am I alone here?
Nope.
No. It was my number three movie of the year.
Can we just start, by saying that, wow, Martin Scorsese, once again, makes an amazing film.
Yeah, it's my favorite of the year. It's the trailer came out, I think, 6 months ago, and for 6 months, I'm like, I have to see this movie. I need to see this movie. I want to see this movie.
Well, so often, you know, by the time you hear about a movie, there's been so much hype. Oh, it's won this Critics Association Award, all this praise, it's going to be the best movie. And then you might get to it and you go like, well, it was good, but 12 Years a Slave and the Wolf of Wall Street were the two movies where I was like, wow, these completely lived up to their hype, if not exceeded that.
It was one of those, this trailer was one of those ones that just made you go, I feel like I already can give this trailer best movie.
Right.
Yeah. The trailer alone. It was like so much fun. And the odd thing about this is that unlike a lot of, you know, I mean, obviously Martin Scorsese, as you said earlier, Martin was like, is really good at already creating those like rise and fall gangster films.
Yeah.
Like we were, like Goodfellas being the most notable example, but this is a black comedy.
Right.
And make no mistake, it's a comedy.
Yeah. Which actually, it wasn't until halfway through the movie that I realized, oh, this is a comedy. I mean, I'd been laughing through it all, but just thinking, looking at it serious. But I'm like, okay, this follows in the steps of Goodfellas and Casino, and now it's this. It's like, oh, wait, this actually is a comedy.
And this is actually based on a true story, startling and disturbing as that is, on a guy named Jordan Belfort, who, Leonardo DiCaprio, who it seemed like, 10 years ago, wouldn't you have gone like least likely guy from Martin Scorsese to go, you're my man.
Yeah. You're my new muse.
Yeah. But he is. And God damn, if it isn't a great combination of people working together, he plays this character who is the absolute ultimate scumbag of Wall Street. Like there's no way. It's hard to imagine anyone who is a bigger dick than this guy, really self-involved prick than this guy is. He's still living that ultimate lifestyle. And there's always that point like, oh God, you're such a douche. But at the same time, look what you get to do. Yeah. And he's playing with his audience. Scorsese's playing with his audience at the same time. As he's tormenting you with this being a guy who ruined it for everybody else. Because ultimately, this is a guy who started off going to Wall Street, like doing just a regular Wall Street job, doing well till there was a crash, came out of that going like, what the fuck am I going to do now? This is unacceptable. I was hanging out with people like Matthew McConaughey doing coke and skyscrapers for an all too brief sequence. So I have one complaint about this film.
It's not enough McConaughey.
Not enough McConaughey, who's so wonderful in the one brief thing he's in this. But he goes, no, this isn't acceptable. I want to make money no matter what. And he finds a backdoor.
A loophole.
Through small stocks to build his
penny stocks.
Yeah, to build his way up, to manipulate the public, to make his way, get his way back up there to the American douchebag dream, which is to have everything and give it to no one. And it's a true story-ish, I guess. I don't know.
No. That's one of the things. It's like, it's so fantastical. You go like, okay, what's the real truth? Oh, it's exactly like they said it was.
Knowing what the real guy does for a living now, I have no doubt that almost all of this entire movie was true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
you're one of those guys. You spent prison in, like, playing tennis.
Yeah. We talk about Club Fed. This is that guy who really lived that life.
This is one of those times you should be mad to be an American.
One of the things that's beautiful about this film is that it is told from what is essentially the villain's viewpoint. I mean, yeah, he's a scumbag and he breaks the rules and he lives this life, and they manage to do it in such a way that he's charismatic and you follow along with him and you don't really want him to get caught. Like when the feds are ready to come down on him, you're like, no, he's my guy.
You're fighting yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, I know he's a piece of shit, but he's my piece of shit. Right. And there's no question he's a bit. I mean, like, this is almost like.
He tells you the whole time.
This is almost like Martin Scorsese seeing how far he can push it.
Yeah.
He's like still going, really? You guys think Goodfellas is one of the greatest movies ever made? Well, fuck, I can make a bigger douche than that.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio's a nice, wholesome guy. We're going to open the movie with him snorting coke out of a hooker's taint.
Well, I don't see the problem.
You know, it's one of those things where you go like, yes, your ego says, yes, that is bad. But your id says like, I know, but I want to do that too. Just once, at least.
That's terrible. Is there no one else around?
Can I get a little bit of that?
I mean, he really does support this with the type of filmmaking that you expect from Scorsese and is having the most fun. It's like, obviously there was no end of money just thrown at this film as well. It's $100 million budget and they spend it on, well, probably the same stuff that they say they're spending on the film. Hookers and blow and giant boats and party Chimps. Houses. And yeah, exactly. And it moves so quickly.
It does.
It's just like bang, bang, bang. And you can't believe, well, you can believe at the end it's 179 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's like 40 minutes or something cut out of the original cut that he.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Because I think this movie is just amazing, and the only bad thing I could say about it is that 3 hours is just too long for anything, including this. You're saying it was a cut that was longer?
Yeah, there was a longer cut. And that's the thing. It's like, I agree with you. I was like, I loved this movie, but even then, 179 minutes was like, dude.
Yeah, because knowing it's a rise and fall movie, at some point you're like, I've been sitting here a while. Where's he going to fall? When's he going
to
fall?
He's obviously going to fall at some point. Now, let's go to the greatest strengths of this film. And I got to say, it's the relationship between Leonardo DiCaprio and, of all people, Jonah Hill. I'm still a little baffled that that's such a strong element to this film as it really is.
I don't think I was as in love with Jonah Hill as everybody else, but I do recognize that he was really good.
Well, he has this is the performance of his life.
Okay, yes.
Johnny Azoff, who is the guy who was just a schmuck, who literally came up to Leonardo DiCaprio's character in a diner. Is like, man, I saw the car you pull up on. I see what you're doing here. What's happening? Who are you? I do shit not like this at all, but whatever you're doing, I want to do. I'm going to quit my job right now. You just tell me you can give me a job. I'll quit your job. And Leo's like, okay. And they're like best friends from the movie on out. He's a fucking psycho.
He is a psycho.
But there is a sequence in this film in the beginning of the third act or so that involves him and Leonardo DiCaprio on even for guys who've been drug addicts their whole life, like heroic doses of amphetamines. That is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a film.
Yeah.
They're trying to talk to each other. I mean, this is like a 10-minute sequence that you're laughing your ass off through the...
I was especially laughing because it reminded me of like one of my excursions to Mexico, like dead on. I was just like, oh shit.
It's so goddamn funny. And Jonah Hill, I expected being capable of this. Leonardo DiCaprio, we see dramatic roles with maybe a tinge of comedy. This is flat out slapstick, dark comedy.
Yeah.
I'm convinced there's nothing that Leo can't do.
Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah, you go, because you still think of him as that kid from Titanic who got on your nerves.
He got my nerves. I love him. Jack, man. Yeah. I still want to believe that you're frozen in the ice, they're going to bring you back.
Like Captain America.
Yeah. Rose!
Yeah, he even does a little bit in this movie where he starts out as this kind of doe-eyed associate stockbroker.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, if you can bring money to your clients, put money in your client's pocket and yours, that's good for everyone. And McConaughey's like, no. And right away, he's like, all right, well, then no. Fuck them.
Well, I mean, it is important that to know that you know, the actual character, Jordan Belfort, and everything he did, the movie Boiler Room is based on that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I did not know that, actually. And that's an awesome movie as well.
I saw the similarities. I didn't actually know that, though. But yeah, it's awesome.
It's not as awesome as this movie.
No, no, it's not. It's not at all.
This is everything you want from a Scorsese movie, including stuff you didn't expect. Like I said, flat out, laugh out loud, slapstick comedy sequences. I was the same way as you. I kind of forgot it was supposed to be a comedy over a typical Scorsese good, like, you know, Goodfellas type movie.
Yeah.
Until it got to that third act where it was like.
Yeah, the third act, you know,
you're right just off. Like, oh my God, this is like flat out, like just whole, like Buster Keaton almost. when Leonardo DiCaprio is trying to open the car door of his Lamborghini.
Oh my God, that whole scene with the car.
Because he's too fucked up. Oh my God!
Yeah, it's because like they take pretty much Wile E. Coyote earthquake pills. But you're like, well, these don't work. Let's just take the whole bottle. Also, I wanted to talk to Margot Robbie, who plays DiCaprio's wife, Naomi. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are actually giving notice for Best Supporting Actress.
Well, as well, they should. I'd never seen her before, and to look at her,
we've seen all of her now.
Well, I mean, she's drop dead gorgeous, and she looks like can't remember the actress's name, but I know she played Joy on My Name Is Earl. God, I can't because she was a big deal. I can't remember her name.
What are you talking about?
That
another role she played?
No, she's not this actress.
You're talking about Jamie Presley?
Jamie Presley, yeah, thank you. Yeah. She looked like as if somebody said, like, I'm gonna make another Jamie Presley, but I'm gonna like make it better this time. I'm gonna perfect everything.
That's well said, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, what's great about it, she's got like an Italian, Dutch, cause she's sort of like a mix of nationalities. She in real life she's Australian.
Right.
But she's talking with like a really thick.
Like every single new actor. Yeah.
True.
She's got that really thick Jersey Italian accent.
Yeah, which is weird. Like you look at her and what comes out of her mouth doesn't seem to fit the way she looks. But man, she plays that role so well. Just being that wife and you go back and forth on how you feel about her. And, I was like, I can't wait to see what she does next.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's terrific in this. Jean Dujardin from The Artist.
Oh, I know.
Has a wonderful little turn here.
Yeah.
Like a banker in Switzerland who keeps coming back into the story. We already mentioned Matthew McConaughey.
Joanna Lumley from AbFab.
Joanna Lumley is wonderful in there. John Favreau has a scene here. John
he doesn't do much, but Ethan Suplee.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Who I kept going, hey, it's our buddy. We were on the Theog. No, it's not.
No.
He just looks like Sam Idison. I don't know.
Right.
I was like, hey, it's Sam. No, it's not. Rob Reiner, one of the greatest
movie
directors of all time, has a terrific role.
His character is so great.
Like, he's so funny in this movie. And like I said, you keep going. Even Spike Jonze, who for my money made the best, directed the best movie this year, Her, has a role in this film.
Wait, who was he in this movie?
Dwayne.
Oh, was he one of the guys working for him?
Yeah.
No, okay.
He was the when he
the guy running the penny stock place. Yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah.
Like a very small role, but nonetheless,
it has one of the best lines in the movie.
Yes, it does. Oh my God, I really enjoyed the fuck out of this movie. Even while I will say, to some extent, it's Scorsese going like, this is such comfortable ground for me that I don't expect to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't. I just want to make a fun film. I want to have a good time. And I wasn't surprised to hear that shortly after this film was done in production, he announced he wants to retire from making films. It was like, this felt like a sort of like, this was something I always wanted to do with this.
Yeah.
Just for the fuck of it and just have a good time. It is. It's just a good time. It's just such a goddamn good, well-made good time that it does qualify as one of the best films of the year. But that being said, it's still Scorsese not trying real hard to stretch beyond what he's already done.
Well, that said, it's almost like, I would say it's another one of those where he's like, it's a culmination of everything he's been doing for the last few years.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I want to just put it all in this one movie. And if this happens to be my last movie, it's a great exclamation point on a career. You, if you want to retire right now, you couldn't fault him. It's like, hey, dude, you went out on the highest note.
Oh, yeah.
You could. I mean, like, of all those old directors from, you know, from those early 70s movies, it's like him and Woody Allen seem to be the only two who are still able to make good, vital movies that you go like, I can't believe somebody old made this.
You're
this
right. Every time Francis Ford Coppola makes anything, we're all just kind of embarrassed.
You're right.
Like, you know, yeah. Just like, oh, no, I don't. You obviously took a spike to the head or something at some point. I don't know what that was. But this is actually written by Terrence Winter, who is executive producer of Boardwalk Empire.
Ah.
So, and also one of the main writers for The Sopranos.
Well, even Shea Winningham makes a cameo appearance in it.
Yeah, so you can kind of see why, like, maybe there's some amount of connection here between those things. Honestly, I'm just going to do a final sum up here. This is a super fun film. The worst thing you can say about it is that it's longer than it needs to be. But you're never going to be bored. You're just going to be, I got things to do.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I think you made your point. You're continuing to entertain me. Can I save this till the next episode? I felt like I wish this was a television series, not a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd keep watching it. I'd be like, all right, I've stayed up long enough. I got to go to bed. This is like 3 episodes of the show. But I'll keep tomorrow, first thing after work, I'm going to start watching more. What are you going to say? This is still like, God, you already used the Goodfellas response for another film. I'm going to give this 5 Leo I Love You Forevers.
I you and I are in complete lockstep over this movie and how great it is, how entertaining, and just its only flaw is that it's 3 hours. And it's just one of those things where, like, as fascinating of a character as Jordan Belfort is, his story is not one that deserves 3 hours. 2.5, 2:45, sure. It's ultimately, just something about
that's
3.
What it is. You're like, God, he's such a douche. Yeah. You're almost a little mad that he has a 3-hour Martin Scorsese film
right?
about it.
Yeah, I think Nelson Mandela only got 2.5. But for all that, I would give it 9, maybe even 9.5 lines of coke out of 10.
I was thinking of that too.
But now you stole his shit. Jesus. Martin, Leon, whatever your name is.
Yeah, I love this movie. It's my favorite of the year. And I never really thought about the potential awards that it may or may not win until you brought it up. But yeah, I don't really care. It's a really fun movie. I don't feel like this needs the validation of winning Best Picture the way I thought The Departed did. When The Departed came out, I really hoped it won Best Picture. I don't necessarily feel that with this. It's fun. It's my favorite movie of the year. I'll expand upon Martin's saying, I will say 9 lines of coke off of a hooker's body.
Okay.
People are going to love it. They're going to have fun with this. This is a film that your snobby art friends are going to get something out of, and your guys who are like just got done watching Duck Dynasty are going to have a fun time watching, quite frankly.
It's funny because my mom, like, her favorite films biopics. Do you say biopics? I don't know. Biopics.
Say it any way you want.
That especially about guys who like pull scams and she wants them to get away. Like,
yeah.
like Catch Me If You Can or I Love You, Philip Morris.
Catch Me If You Can is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, this is something that I think she's going to get into. Although she might go like, God damn, it was too long.
And plus, like, that's an awful lot of naked chick for one movie. Yeah. I mean, like, even I was at the point going like, is this NC-17?
Well, that's one of those things where I think about showing it to her, but then I think about when I showed her I Love You, Philip Morris. It's like 20 minutes in where there's a full-on gay sex scene, and we sat together watching that. Like, a little bit uncomfortable on my part, yeah.
But I would be uncomfortable gay or heterosexual with the amount of times we see Leonardo DiCaprio's ass pumping up and down
yeah.
on incredibly amazingly gorgeous chicks who were naked in this film. My God, you could make a softcore porn entirely out of Leonardo DiCaprio's ass in this movie. Not that that's necessarily a bad
one. Right.
This would make a really fun double feature with Pain and Gain, although that's a lot of naked chick and cocaine.
I know this is not a Pain and Gain review, but to me, Pain and Gain is one of those movies that deserve way more props than they got when it came to the end of the year.
Yes, and this deserves more props than it's ever even going to get, because it's so much fun.
True.
Goddamn, fuck you critics who are like, I hate to have fun. I hate to have fun. I'm just going to sit here and be mad that there's naked woman in here.
It's so sexist.
I'm going to call my mom.